You sure it's coffee?
Well, I'm hoping it's just coffee.
Sorry, Don. All right. Live on BBS, welcome everybody who has tuned in through BBS Radio Online. We have some more in the last minute. Welcome everybody. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Lisa, San Francisco.
Lisa, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Marilyn, Oxford, Michigan.
Marilyn, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, this is Barbara in San Mateo, California.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
Just great, thanks.
All right.
This is Stolen from Charlotte, Carolina.
Hi, Phil. Welcome to the call.
Hey, guys. Just letting you know I'm here, although you probably know.
Great. Good to know. Thank you, Ian. More people joined in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Phil in New Orleans.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, this is Kathy in Laughlin.
Hi.
Kathy, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I believe there could be more people who haven't announced themselves yet. If you want to just go ahead.
Roy Koenig.
Is it Ray?
Bob from Chico.
Hey, Bob. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the office station. But only if you want to.
You keep blanking out there, Heist.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but every few minutes.
Every few minutes? So now you can hear me well?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Wayne, it's time for you to take over, my brother. 602. What do you think? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Roy Koenig, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Roy. Welcome to the call.
Well, thank you for accepting my call.
All right, man. Glad to have you.
Hello.
And somebody else came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
I'm Mary August.
Good evening, Mary. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Don from Brecksville.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call. Good evening.
Hi. Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. No.
All right.
Morgan in California.
Good evening, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
And Steve and Bettina in Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. How are you? And Bettina, hi. How are you doing? Hello, Teddy. And welcome to the call.
Is Terry here? Did I hear Terry?
I believe her line is on here, but...
I'm here.
All
yes,
right.
I'm here. Yeah.
Good evening, Teddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
She's unmuted.
Yes.
Now, is Daphne here? Say hello.
Yes, I did.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Wynn.
Okay, guys, we have the dynamic duo present.
Trio.
Yeah. Is that because I'm here too? I wouldn't want to call myself dynamic. You can.
Why not when you are dynamic?
Then I'll call you the dynamo.
Hey. So we'll call him Mr. Dynamite.
Now, where does dynamic duo come from?
Batman.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think it's 7:05. Anybody want to say hello before we use
Hi, this is Terrence from Yonkers, New York.
Hi, from Yonkers. Hi, Terrence.
Hi.
Hi.
Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Ryan.
This is Cheryl. Hi,
Cheryl. Cheryl from Philadelphia. Cheryl, have I ever said hello to you before?
Yes, you have.
I have. I always like to say special hellos. We talked about me being from Mount Airy, right?
Yes, you did.
I remember now. Okay.
Is BBS down tonight?
BBS should be on. Are you not hearing? Are you not hearing them?
Sandra.
Can't connect at all, no. On station two.
I believe Ron from Mountain Grove is listening on BBS, I believe. Ron, are you there? If you mute it, press star 6.
Didn't Don say hello earlier?
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
He was going to get us live instantly.
Yeah. All right, if anyone's listening on BBS, send me an email, winfrey@yahoo.com. I'll be watching my emails and...
I couldn't get on the BBC.
You couldn't?
No, it said Safari doesn't accept the what did it say? It said something very strange. Like,
yeah, try a different browser, okay? Get another browser.
Which browser?
Well, there's Internet Explorer, there's Google Chrome, and... is Firefox.
Because I tried Chrome, I tried Google, I did it.
Did you ever get us on the internet?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You have in the past, right?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you what, let me call up BBS. I'm sorry. And see what's going on.
All right, and I'm welcoming people who join in. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Michael.
Sure. Hi, this is Cheryl.
Cheryl from Philadelphia?
Nope, Cheryl from Huntington Beach, California.
Cheryl, welcome to
Cheryl. Cheryl, that's Tinkerbell.
Yes.
BBS is on.
BBS
oh, okay.
is on? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, I'm hanging
right,
up.
Let's see.
I'm done. Okay, we're going to start. And hang on a second. I'm going to...
Are you doing the star 8?
A second. Now, you know, we do, in spite of the fact that we're such enemies of the team,
muted.
I muted the lines.
Thank you. We actually.
Let's first start the recorder, Win.
Okay, just a second.
This conference is being recorded.
You know, I'm always smarter before I start the recorder, okay? This is 12/26/2012, 7:09 p.m. And now it's official. Now it's being recorded.
6:09
Pacific. 6:09
Pacific.
And, you know, when you're recording, it's bad enough talking to people because they remember everything you say. And if you look like an idiot, nobody forgets it. But once you start the recorder, not only do people not forget it, they have to listen to it again and again. You know what I'm saying, Heis?
Yes, I'd like to silently start the recorder, but it will announce itself, so...
That's okay. I appreciate you saying it. Is there anything you want to say, Heis, that you want to record for posterity that's really, you know, dumb-sounding?
Well, I can only speak from my heart, and that is that I love every one of you.
There we go. Thank you. You know, I say this, we say this over and over again, but it's good to remind you that when we're channeling or doing transmissions or bringing in voices from other dimensions, we never, ever tell you that you should believe it. You should not believe they are who they say they are,
and you should not believe what they say. The only thing that matters is what you can apply to your life and make a difference. One of the things that's been the fall of mankind is taking things and turning them into doctrines and then saying, this is what to believe, or the Elohim said this, or wind said that. And we are not presenting this in that way. And there are times, and I say it outright, that sometimes there's bleed through from Terry's conscious mind. Sometimes there's bleed through from Daphne's conscious mind. For example, you know, when Terry is giving counsel, oftentimes she'll come up with health stuff. When Daphne is giving, when sources are giving counsel through Daphne, often they'll come up with something like hug a tree or take a walk. Well, Terry never takes walks, so it never comes up. So, you know, we can all observe this process, because in between things like that, there is incredible, incredible wisdom that shows up. And so many people have had life-changing experiences. And I point that out, and I point it out before you do, because, you know, we're not trying to make anything of perfection here. And then, Daphne, are you on the line now?
I am on the line, yes.
You know, in the last few times that you've been on, there has been, you know, normally, you know, if you look at the history here, Daphne started channeling the Elohim at the very beginning, and then Terry started channeling the voice that said they were the Elohim. Now, at some point a few years ago, there was this major announcement that the Elohim said that they were working with the Ra group and that the two groups were acting as a team. And the voice that came in said it was Ra on, and that we had the best of both coming through. Now, in the past few times Daphne has been on, you might recall that when she started to do a session, we heard this very guttural, deep chant that was going, rah! And the voice came through and said it was rah. And now, you know, Carla Recker never had a guttural chant like that when she brought rah through. We might ask a question about that tonight. Daphne, you want to make any comments about that? Would you like to answer some questions tonight?
Sure. That would be fine.
You want to answer any questions about that raw chant that has been coming through?
Well, sure. Actually, they
listen. And if you can, get a little louder.
Get louder. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, they've actually given me a little bit of information about that, as Wynn asked me about half an hour ago about the toning. The toning is very, very similar in effect to what, for example, the Tibetan Buddhist monks do. The toning is a calibration of frequency. If any of you are musicians, when you go to a concert, you know, the New York Philharmonic, San Francisco Symphony, you'll sit in Davies Symphony Hall, and the oboe gives an A, and that's 440 cycles per second, and the entire orchestra has to tune to the A. And it's a way of calibrating and harmonizing a certain frequency. The Schumann resonance of the Earth now is above 13 Hertz. I guess it was in 1987, harmonic convergence, it was somewhere around 7.8.
Are you sure that's true?
Yes.
Or is that just what people say?
Well, I mean, I've read it all over the place. So I'm just giving.
One of the things I've noticed.
Everything I'm saying, you know, go on Wikipedia. One of the things that's out. It's X-H-U-M-A-N-N, Resonance of the Earth, and it's widely believed by even mainstream geophysicists to be around. Actually, it's over 13 cycles per second at this point. So it's ascending. It seems that there has to be a new anchoring of the light encoded frequencies. They're giving me information about a new root chakra. The new root chakra can no longer be anchored in the old ways. The old ways were based on fear. They were based on divisiveness. They were based on control patterns. We are leaving that. We have left, actually,
Excuse me. I just wanted the answer to that one question.
Okay, I'm running away here, but anyway, that's the kind of stuff that's coming in.
Now, I'm just going to tell everybody, Daphne reads everything, and then, in my opinion, sometimes you'll read things and quote them as if they're true, or you believe them, but you haven't necessarily validated them. So, when you say these things, because when you chat, I'm not supposed to say channel, I'm supposed to say transmission. When you bring messages in, there's so much authority that people tend to believe everything you say from your conscious mind. So I just wanted to say it may be true. It may be the Schumann resonance is going up. It may be the new paradigm is the heart and there's no root chakra, although I don't know how they're going to reproduce.
No, it's not a matter of no root chakra. The new root chakra is considered to be the heart chakra.
So I don't have a discussion about this because the question is, where's the second chakra? Where's the first chakra? You know, I mean, where do you reproduce? You know, it brings up a whole bunch of questions. So I don't like to take anything for granted. And so that may be true, but until I can figure it out or until you can explain it to me so I understand it without just quoting somebody or I have, you know, see 10 different people coming up with it, then I don't want to say it if it's true. Is that okay? You understand what I mean?
That's fine.
Okay, good.
I mean, I consider myself I'm a conduit. I'm a messenger.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, you know, I read from, you know, extremely diverse sources, and I'm constantly, you know, pulling in and assimilating information, and I just, I present it for people's edification, and, you know, I would, you know, ask everyone to check it out. I presented so people had the option of exploring it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I try to vocabularize myself. So even if a voice is talking to us, I say it's the voice that identifies itself as the Elohim or something like that. I don't say they are, although I think they are. I think in many cases they are. Doesn't serve you, the listener, to believe they are until something clicks inside you that says, I can feel the energy. That puts pieces of the puzzle together. And up to that point, it serves no purpose to believe that they created the universe, that anything like that. So if anything I read, I'm very careful about quoting anything. So I can say things that I can know happened. There's been a bunch of events. Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. They told me to look up St. Catherine. That happened, okay? That's fact. It's documented. And then when people speculate on things, this and that and the other thing, I don't know if it's true or not. So I'm careful. This is my process. I suggest that it can be your process too. It's a good process because if you catch yourself, you find yourself not believing things that you can't validate.
Now, one thing that you can validate is that there is most certainly a lot of wisdom that comes through on this line. And if something is truly wise, and if you can then apply it to your life, and if you can change your life, you know that it works, okay? Maybe you didn't know it when you tried it, but you tried it and it worked. And I know many, many, many people have been listening to these calls and used things on these calls and something shifted for them. And truthfully, that is the greatest benefit. It's not about knowing what the Schumann residence is or a sophisticated knowledge. It's about putting things into your life that you can apply that help you share loving energy with other people better, that help you not be afraid, that help you attract synchronicities to you and opportunities. And those are the things that are most important. You know why? Because you are most important. Every one of you is so incredibly important, and that if you're coming into these calls, I want to make sure that we deliver what is going to help you graduate this realm. That's what they're telling us. Now, I can't even prove that there's going to be a graduation of this realm. And that's one of those things that you can take on faith, because it started out with Jesus, so then it came through Carla Rucker, came through David Wilcock, came through Daphne, came through Terry, all sane. And then actually a number of other people who are channels all saying the same thing. So we are really honored to have Daphne with us tonight. And I think she's starting to like what we do. She might be coming back more often. I hope so. You know, Daphne, really, can I talk about you, Daphne? Is it okay?
I don't know if I have a choice, but okay.
You can stop me anytime. Say, don't tell them that, okay? And I'll stop. But if you've read the Creator God book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, want to talk to you. You know, I share that this is, I'm so glad that Terry and Daphne go along with the quality of transparency that we bring forth on these shows, that each of us is willing to be transparent. You know what transparency means? It means we don't have anything to prove. We're all just humans. We're all going through our human process. Daphne goes through hers. I go through mine. Terry goes through hers. And in sharing that transparency with you, you realize that we're one of you. We're not standing on some exalted hill saying, here's the truth. And one of the things for Daphne is she came from a long background of mystical Catholicism and reading the Bible and wondering if what we were doing was one of the things that Jesus warned people about, you know, that we're misleading people. What if we're misleading people? What if this is the devil working through us, and it's not the Christ at source? And she would have terrible negative attacks that totally disabled her. And she was thinking, well, if what Wynn's doing is so good, why am I having these attacks? And so she would withdraw, but she didn't stay withdrawn. She kept coming back. Eventually, you know, it was like she was running down the street, you know, screaming, let me out of here. I don't want to do this. What am I doing? I want to play music. And you know, she's gone through, this has been about a 10-year process. And she's still here. And I think in your own mind, I hope, you know, you never know, there's free will here, but in her own mind, it feels like she really sees the value of this work. You want to say anything about that, Daphne? Thanks for letting me just talk, and you didn't stop me, so I guess it was okay. Anything you'd like to say?
I that's kind of you, Lynn. Thank you.
Listen, far be it from me to want to have the last word here, okay?
I'm learning better.
Far be it from me to have the last word. So, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit, you know, off the subject, but for some reason, when we were talking, I started thinking about Benjamin Franklin. And have you told the group?
No, we're not talking about that, okay?
You're not talking about that. Okay. All right. No, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, I think it's fairly accurate. It has been a really, really intense process of integration and having to work with tremendous energy and things that I just didn't understand. In fairness to accuracy, yes, I mean, I didn't actually grow up in a religious background. My mother was Anglican. My father was raised in the Greek Orthodox Church. His family was somewhat religious. But he was a physicist. He was a scientist. And I was always interested in metaphysics, converted to Judaism. My husband was Jewish, not practicing. He was also a scientist. But then experienced very deep interest in Buddhism and Hinduism. I became a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda and spent a lot of time investigating the teachings and practices of the East, and then had some very powerful mystical experiences in the early 90s. And so I was trying to reconcile all of these different experiences and inputs and wrap my head around them. And I really didn't have a framework large enough that everything was able to fit in there. But now I think with the internet, there's enough out there and there's enough published that, and I found other people who are doing shamanic work that have helped me be able to anchor and ground some of these energies. So it's beginning to find legs, so to speak. So it's finally beginning to be all right. I hope, but it's been very challenging. Nothing in 3D really prepares you. You know, mainstream reality, consensus reality, you know, you're considered crazy. You know, they want to pump you full of Prozac and lock you away. So, hopefully we're out of the woods.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. You know, one of the funniest emails that I've gotten in the last 2 weeks, because we're transparent here, and we let it all hang out. And somebody sent an email, and they said, "I love listening to your shows. It's like all of the family with a twist." So, in any case, are you guys ready? I think I'm going to shut up. We have some great questions and interesting questions tonight. And if Daphne's going to answer one, I don't know if we're going to have the Ra chant or not, but if we do, we've explained it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Daphne, Terry, myself, and everyone listening, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. In fact, Daphne had made the request, why don't we just send it before time so it's out of here? And I'll go along with that. And right now we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have an opening greeting through Terry?
We greet Terry. You in the light of the one infinite creator. I got thrown off there, and I came out of trance, but hold on. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you this 26th of December 2012, and our joy extends into the third density, and we greet each and every one of you who wishes to have our presence. And we did not come through the telephone lines or the radio. That is where Terry's voice comes from. But we are non-linearly present within the space of each and every individual who wishes us to be close. And it is our honor. We feel honored to be able to connect with you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And the first question is, I've had this from a couple of people where they're on our call and they experience, this person called it vertigo, another person was dizzy, they could not get up for several minutes. When he finally did, it took a couple hours to clear. Could you explain why certain people have this kind of experience? And I address that to our sources speaking to us through Terry.
Thank you. When one is in the third density, they use the body to ground, and they use the location within the third density, the location on the planet, to ground, and they use the different body systems to ground, and the chakra systems are aligned in a certain way according to each individual. Sometimes when an individual connects to us, they then lose or let go of some of the grounding that they have been anchoring themselves with, and as they connect with our energies, then they let go of some of the anchoring energies, and this can bring disorientation. We do not mean for you to be disoriented, and so for those of you that are, we suggest that you anchor yourself, that you feel the body, feel your chair, keep your feet on the floor, and partake of the higher frequencies little by little so that you do not go headlong into them and then lose any other anchoring, as it is not necessary to become disoriented to connect with us.
Somebody has that experience. Is there an exercise they can do or something they can do to help bring them back into their body, like take a hot shower or eat, or any recommendation?
We suggest sitting still and feeling the chair, massaging your body so that you get back your orientation. And when you have that orientation back, then you can begin to move around and you can begin, you could have a hot shower. But to slowly massage the body, feel the chakras, feel the top of your head, feel the throat chakra, feel the heart chakra, feel your stomach, feel your bottom, feel your legs, and feel your feet against the floor. And then when you are oriented, you will gradually come back to your orientation. And when you're oriented, you could begin to move around and might wish to take a hot shower.
Thank you. All right, we're going to address the question from Dee Hall that has to do with, and we'll do this through Daphne, has to do with this idea that people come into this realm to be where they've chosen to be a victim at something like Sandy Hook or Aurora. You know, before I present this, and Dee wrote a bunch of stuff, but I'm just going to go through it really quickly and pick out what's important. I wanted to mention, some of you may want to do a Google search on this. It's interesting because we were talking about the dynamic duo. As you know, in the Aurora, Colorado incident, it happened while they were watching Batman. And I'm not going to ask this question to our sources. I don't want them to answer this. I'm going to just leave it hanging. In that Batman movie, in the skyline, when they were going through the skyline, there was a skyscraper that had the name Aurora on it. And later on in the movie, there was a map on a table that very distinctly had the words Sandy Hook on it. Go do a Google search, and you'll find the videos where people put that together. And there's only two possibilities for the answers of why that's so. One is that this was a negative plan project, and they were giving notice of it in this movie, and some people believe that's true for many, many movies. For example, in The Matrix, Keanu Reeves had a passport that expired on 9/11/2001, and some people think the negative uses the movies to give signals. That's one possibility. Another possibility is total coincidence. Another possibility is some kind of crazy synchronicity. But you might look that up. Look up, what was the name of the Batman movie? I'll think of it.
Knight Rises?
The Dark Knight Rises, right? Dark Knight Rises, Sandy Hook, Aurora. Just put that in Google, and then you draw your own conclusions. And going back to the question here, and many people will say this is God's will or every people chose it. And I'm not sure I believe that personally, but we'll ask our sources and we'll get their explanation on it. You know, things that are random, things that are negative plots. It's like, did people come into this realm like volunteering to sacrifice themselves in this way? Did they know they were going to die, or did their high selves know they were going to die? And we do know that negative exists because it helps everyone evolve. And we also have the idea that our realm, it went over the deep end. And on that note, let me just see. I'll just read a little bit of Dee's question. Is it not correct that we choose before coming into this lifetime what obstacles we will put in front of ourselves? It's my understanding that the souls who would become these children knew prior to this lifetime they would have a short life. They volunteered to be born here and die this way so the souls of their parents could live through a very tough life lesson. The parents chose this too. So with that preamble, I'm going to turn it over to Daphne, and I'm not sure what source is going to come through her and or who they're going to say they are. And we'll see how they address this question. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. One moment, please. We greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. We speak to you this day on the 26th of December. Let us attune our frequency to your question. One moment, please. You have concerns, you have a desire to understand those incidents, which from the perspective of the 3D, the incidents we speak of are the Colorado and the Connecticut incidents. We see that these have been requisite testing patterns. When we say requisite testing patterns, from our perspective, there has been a soul contract, a soul alliance of those situations and those circumstances which have presented themselves in this time and this place through the architected constructs in which certain elements of challenge were introduced, however, not having foreseen certain consequences. It is difficult for us to explain fully our meaning, as from your perspective, you are still in a kind of time flow. Though, from our perspective, because you have moved to the bottleneck of the 21st of December, you are now moving into the now time, the time beyond linear flow. When one moves into the now consciousness, the possibility of all things being present and accessing all becomes a tangible reality. As for the children and the parents having chosen beforehand to undergo such a dramatic and tragic episode, we would say that in the totality of all that there is, nothing is lost. We understand, though, that this is little comfort for those who are experiencing the drama and the grief now. It is part of the soul evolution working. It is part of the way physicality experiences itself. whether or not it is something to be avoided or even something to be chosen is not necessarily seen from our vantage point, as we too are learning that when we posit intention, it is architected and constructed and experienced in the different dimensions in ways that we cannot necessarily foresee. We learn as you learn. We hope this has shed some light.
Thank you. Maybe I could ask a question about that, and that would be, are events like this predestined, or do they come about because of decisions that various entities have made within the timelines?
Again, from our vantage point, we would say that there are trajectories, there are probabilities, there are flows toward certain outcomes. But whether one experiences a particularized outcome in a particular flow of space-time along with other individuals, this is unknown until the actual transpiring of said event. Does this answer your question?
It does. So maybe one could say, when someone enters into a body in this timeline, they are agreeing to whatever happens here.
Yes.
And if they happen to have that happen, it goes part and parcel with their agreement, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Another question. This is a general question. According to history, Jesus did some amazing miracles. And we've seen a number of miracles in our group, but it never seems to be as on demand as the record indicates happened for Jesus. Is this because of the choices of the higher realms not to do obvious miracles in this realm, which I've read in the raw material, or is there another explanation?
One moment, please. The circumstance from our perspective in which you find yourselves, the circumstance of witnessing perhaps healing, perhaps intervention, but not outright fantastic, outrageous miracles per se, we would say from our perspective is part and parcel of the time and the place and the circumstance within which you live. What transpires at this time, we would say, is wholly miraculous in many ways. It is a matter of perspective. There is also the desiring of the soul contract at this particular time and space to witness and to undergo and to hone and to transmit the individuated Christed light within each and every individual, rather than have the light posited upon what would appear to be an external source, an external person, in which case the person would be adored or worshipped. You are moving to a point of evolution where you are learning to take responsibility for that which ultimately heals your life, and that is the notion that when you practice the Christ consciousness, miracles are possible because you are no longer standing in the way of the miraculous. You are helping, you are co-creating the miraculous. It is part and parcel of the evolutionary trajectory which humanity, or portions of humanity, has decided at this time to undergo. The transmitting channel only this morning awoke with the conscious thought that as we recognize that we indeed are Christed light, and our own consciousness is weaving the collective fabric of experience for the totality of the human collective and experience, when we each understand that it is our own presence, our own preciousness, our own light, our own individual choices, which affects not only us, but every single person around us. When we become that accountable, when we become that centered, when we become that balanced, when we become that living, bearing, witnessing person, earth angel person, we would say, because you are bringing the celestial to the earth, you are still human, and yet you are embodying divine qualities. When you can do that, you become yourself a living, breathing, walking, tangible bridge for the God source, Christed energies to act through you and thus transmute any imperfections, any miasms, any difficulties on the physical plane which linger at this time. We may say you are really part of the first wave. You are the way showers. You are the people who are crossing the rainbow bridge into the fifth dimension now as we speak. By holding your frequency of love, of non-judgmentalism, of acceptance, of virtue, of stability, of groundedness in the Christ light in yourself, you create a stabilizing influence and vibration for everyone in your life, whether you physically spend time with them or not. You become, in essence, a honing beacon, a vibrational tuning rod. We are recalibrating the baseline frequency of the earth so that all may attune to the foundation. The foundation now being not a foundation of war or dominion, but the foundation being the heart of the Christ. The Christ living in each one, in every and each one of all here. This is indeed a momentous undertaking, one that you must acknowledge in yourself and give yourselves a hard-earned pat on the back, hug each other, congratulate each other. You are pulling very, very, very difficult and long-awaited possibilities into the physical plane as we speak. You are becoming the new foundation. You are becoming the light anchor, the light beacon for humanity. We hope this has shed some light on a very, very important line of questioning. Thank you.
Thank you. 7:55, and we're supposed to be finished in 2 minutes. So perhaps I better not ask another question at this point. Thank you all for bearing with us as we were doing quite a bit of initial talking at the beginning. And part of that is becoming comfortable with Daphne being here and for her to become comfortable, because we are very lucky to have her here and available to answer these questions, as we are lucky to have Terry answer questions. And to have both women available and in service to give us guidance is an incredible, incredible blessing for all of us. And on that note, we will adjourn this call. And if you had a question that wasn't answered, there were definitely some questions I was intending to ask, a couple personal questions from people. I'm going to put them for next week, and please ask them again. It's okay to ask them again, because I'm not excluding the questions because they're not of value. It's just that we get more questions that we can answer. And if you ask it again and again, it means, it shows me you have very high intent to getting the answer, and it encourages me to ask it. Some people just ask a question out of curiosity, and they don't have that intent. So it makes a difference if you ask it repeatedly. And on that note, we are going to open up the mics and
unmuted.
Let everyone say goodbye. And we
goodbye.
Hear you.
Thank you, Wynn and Daphne and Harry.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.